טוב, שמול שפירה.
עשרה, אני בא אגב לראות שמול שפירה. הפייג' מה נעשה, כן? הפייג' 74. בשמול שפירה, I had an uncle called Rabbi Aryeh Levin. His mother's sister. He's a big, big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, everyone knows. Very famous. This is Andrew Shmuel Shapira, yeah. Feter Aryeh, Uncle Aryeh. He's a big, big tzaddik about it, I mean. He loved every Jew. He was the rabbi of the prisons, yeah, in Israel. Before the state, even. When all the, all the undergrounds, when the British used to capture them and put them in prison, he used to go there and strengthen them. So we said that last time, that every time, okay, 40 years, someone will explain this, 40 years later, from all these stories that we said about, that they were bashing him and going to his mother and saying, at least he became a bestseller and didn't lose Judaism completely, and all of this. 40 years later, at the end of Tafshin Lamed Daled, 634, whatever now, it's 1974, right? Lamed, yeah. 1974. Kasher
B'Shmuel. That's the year after Yom Kippur War.
Right. Yeah. Exactly a year after. Kasher B'Shmuel. No, it was 2 years after. The end of Tafshin Lamed Daled. Almost 2 years after. This was, Yom Kippur was the beginning of Tafshin Lamed Daled. Kasher B'Shmuel כבר היה נתון בסיטו ובועתו עבודתו. Well, B'Shmuel was already in the top of his working and serving Hashem. At the time, during the Levaya, the right of his uncle, of Aryeh Levin Zatzal, he saw Shmuel walking all the way from the whole way from Shchunat Knesset near the Shuk until Hamanucho, or wherever. No, until where was the burial? Here. Where Avada is buried. It's a long way. It's a long walk, and he walked the whole way, right? But he walked. You know how he walked, right? He didn't open his eyes at all. Not that he opened to see where he was going. He went with the fence. Just along, that's how he used to walk. So, Rav Tzion Grossman says, when I was walking in the Levaya, together with thousands of Am Yisrael, and suddenly I see Rav Shmuel walking with his eyes completely closed, and he's just like a blind man holding on to the walls, to the fences. At the end of the Levaya, he was walking. So Shmuel, who was so careful with his guarding of the eyes, walking like that was pretty hard. There was a lot of suffering. It took him a long time. So Shmuel went over to him and said, Shmuel, it's me, Ben Zion. Come, you want me? I'll walk you. Oh, thank you so much. I thought it won't end forever this way. I'm just walking with these walls. So Shmuel said, this is the story. Ben Zion tells him, ask him. So I'm helping him. And I asked him, Shmuel, tell me, how come he's walking so much? Yeah, every Levaya, right? Rav Shmuel was known. Every Levaya that passed by the Mash Shalom Shul, he used to go outside, walk four amos, right? 8 feet. Right? What's 4 amos? 6 feet?
6 feet.
6 feet and walk back. I did my mitzvah and go back. And now he's walking so much. What happened? So Rav Shmuel smiled and said, I'm grateful to him. I'm grateful to my uncle Aryeh. Right? And I'm obligated to do this. Why? Because at the time when I started becoming Vessel, Shmuel says, I was a young boy. People thought I became crazy. They thought I lost my mind. Something happened. Maybe there wasn't enough food in those days. I don't know. Thought I became crazy. And they used to bother me. And the most thing that the most painful thing that they did is they used to do give my mother a lot of sorrow. Those who was looking for my benefit used to go to my mother and said, you have to convince him, look what happened, he did this. And my mother, that her whole, right, she was a widow, and all that she wanted, I'll grow to be a big tzaddik and everything, and be a big rav. They thought, oy. And it broke my mother's heart. It broke both of us' hearts. And Rav Aryeh, which knew the difference between good and bad, and he realized that Breslev is very good. He used to go to my mother every time and tell her, every time there was a problem like that, he used to go there and say, don't worry, your son is doing well. He used to calm my mother down. That's why I owe him one. And I came to Rabbiya, he's walking there like that. Okay. Birkat, here's a picture of Rabbiya Levin. And let's see. Yeah, I read it from Simcha Ras. Birkat HaBizyonot, the blessing of this Bizyonot, disgraces. Also, Shmuel himself was exposed to all these kushiyot, ta'anot against him. People told him, what kind of future you have there, Breslev? Who's gonna marry you? You're a Breslover. Who's gonna marry you? You crazy?
How old was he at that time?
21. He got married late, 22. So we'll see the story. Already then, Rav Shmuel was armed with the very important thing he was armed his whole life with. Silence. he used to say, yeah, you're right. Okay. He used to keep shut. Once you open your mouth, you start with the Yetzer Hara. You close your mouth, you don't begin. That's what I told you the other day. You don't start up with the Yetzer Hara. You hear what he has to say, and you shut up. Secondly, when people come to you and start telling you, what are you doing? What? You have to get a job. How are you going to have a house for your family? Go to college. You're right. I don't know. Hashem knows. Don't start explaining to him the whole Torah. Especially if it's your parents, okay?
That'll work for
in-laws. Yeah. My brother, his in-laws is American. I live in Arizona now, but not the very sure. And they gave me a good American parent. They told him, well, you're going to marry our daughter, you have to get a job. So fine. So he went to Rav Aryeh said, they want you to study something, fine. They should send you to somewhere to study. Study, we'll see you ready. In the meantime, stay in college and learn also. Like in the evenings, they have all these courses. So he learned something. You think he works in it? He learned for 2 years. He got a degree and he sits and learns. As long as you have parnasa. If there's not parnasa, then you can use the skills. I never went to high school or anything. Hashem, I have enough money. I know people who went to high school, went to college, and they're in debt. So what? It helped them, they went to college. If a person has a profession, use it. Well, if you don't have one, good, get a profession. Not to say, but you must. It's the way of life, like in America. They don't know home. That's wrong.
What's really bad is my son's mother-in-law wants him to go for a doctorate in English.
In English? What are you going to do with that?
Exactly.
She wants him. She could go if she wants. Actually, my parents never interfered with my decisions.
I mean, thank God he's in Orson Neb right now. Morning.
Keep him. That's good. Yeah. Shmuel never understood what's going on with Olam Hazeh. He didn't even try to understand. He didn't want people to try to understand him. He had his own life. In a very early period of time in his life, Shmuel stopped listening to the world, stopped arguing, negotiating with the world. He had his own life. Even negotiation is a type of connection, like we said. The redifot. Again, how do you say redifot?
Pursuing.
The pursuing that he... Pursuit. That he was experiencing in those days. The insults he was getting hit with were also a stone... How do you say a stone... do you say in English that when you, I know there's a word, you don't know the way, but I'll give you a sign, like there's a stone there, there's a...
Landmark.
Yeah, also one of his landmarks of his life. Life of disconnecting from the from this world. And in a back way, it even helped him disconnect from the world. When people were giving all kinds of disgrace, you have to understand what this is. It's horrible. Wherever you went, it was very small, Yerushalayim. Wherever you went, a few thousand Jews, yelling it, and that, and every shul.
Do we know what their relationship was?
No. We know that he helped them with his mother. As he said, he used to tell them, Shmuel used to tell them every time they used to listen, I have nothing in my heart on you, and I'll advise that one day you'll see the truth. That's what he used to answer.
What was it like, or what, is any better now than it was in the 70s?
Much better.
I mean, you know, the Heleni versus the Haredi. You know, they say, oh, you know, get a job. You know,
they talks to the Chanoni. No one told them there to get a job. No, I would just give for our life example to learn out of it. But some of they told them get out of Breslov. What are you doing with Breslov? That's what they told them. That's all they told them. In one of these cases, one of the people that was, what was he doing to him? Was
pursuing
him. From one of the roofs, poured on his head a pill of filth. I don't want to say what, like Haman. Okay? Another present to Rav Shmuel, which received for his power.
You know, you know, people are so.
Kanoim!
So that's a Kedusha, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't some, like,
I know, it's
hatred or something. Decades later, the Levaya Levin, this Jew came over to Shmuel with a long beard, white beard, and he says, Shmuel, 30 years ago, I'm embarrassed to say, I'm the one who poured the thing over on your head. It was stupidity, I was a young boy, please forgive me. Shmuel smiled to him and said, me, thank you so much that you poured it on me, it was so good. And helped me even be on more of a nothing. Believe me, said Rav Shmuel to that Jew, I didn't have it on you even a little bit of a kpeda. Nothing. I only had mercy on you guys. In general, Rav Shmuel, itiaches, how do you say itiaches? He related. Related to all these persecutions. Right, to all these discretions, right? Degradations. The bitul, right? Now, complete application, complete anava, humility. Someone who is being persecuted for yearning after going after Rabbeinu, the light of all lights. Someone who's caught on Diva Torah of Rabbeinu, like the story of Akiva, right? So all these persecutions are not persecution. They just push them forward to go into spirituality. There's some places in spirituality, some peaks, some, how do you say, top of the mountain is the peak?
Yes.
Some peaks in, of mountains in spirituality that you can't reach through easy life. And the way to reach them is through disgrace. Rabbeinu writes a lot about this. Rabbeinu also brought about himself a lot of disgrace. Like Rabbeinu says, Ikar tshuva ledanava. The main tshuva is through humility. Sha'adam tzarich lasom atzmo ke'ayin. A person has to put himself like a nothing. Kamidbar ladush. Like a desert everyone steps in. V'lo yashgiach klal ha'machloket u'bizyonot shemvazim oto. And a person won't care at all about the crawling and the disgraces that are on him, that people disgrace him with. Al-gechzik yudad ha'shtika. Rabbeinu says this. It's the words of Ketem Aran. Only a person will hold with the midah of silence. You should hear his disgraces and don't answer back. The ad nikra chacham be'emet, and then a person is merited to be called chacham. Vezochel tshuva, and merits tshuva, shei b'chinat keter. Torah vav. We'll look at the last story, okay? At the Tkufa, at the period of time after he got close to Breslov, he was still learning in Eitz Chaim, and he got really connected to the Likudei Tfilot from Rabbi Natan wrote, yeah? The story of the prayers, the book of prayers. And he used to hide the Likudei Tfilot under the Gemara, and every once in a while, right, he had a break, he used to take it out and see if he feels and put it back under. One of the mechanchim, one of the teachers there, he saw him with it. So we told him, well, what are you doing? Is this what you're reading? Breslov books? No. So Shmuel told him, it's better to have Likutei Tfilot under my Gemara than other things. Why do you say this? In those days, they had the Etzel and the Lechi and the Haganah and the Zionism and the Communism and who knows what, right? And that's what a lot of the boys in Eitz Chaim also used to hide under the Gemara. So he said, it's better to have this in the Gemara than that.